This is Doug is Cheap on KPWLP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peace Works, Independent Community Radio. All right, so today, the fourth 10-minute play, which is about a little more than 10 minutes, from the Oregon Contemporary Theater, who sponsors the Northwest 10 Playwright Competition, and their acting troupe acts out this last play, and it's a doozy. It's pretty good. It's pretty amazing. That was at the Tsunami Books stage there on from October 4th. And then what I've got for you is, you know, I've been bugging the Springfield, Oregon City Council to. They've recently taken over the. I guess they've annexed Glenwood. Now it is no longer, it used to be sort of between, it is between Eugene and Springfield, but they've never said it was under the auspices of Eugene. Now it's under the auspices of Springfield, and they've got this development plan where they're going to take, and I finally figured this out, it's the area from Franklin over to the river where Roaring Rapids Pizza is. It's that side of Franklin. And I've been trying to get them to clean up the other side of Franklin. I own property in Springfield, so it lowers my property values if I want to sound to at the risk of sounding like a capitalist. And so I've been trying to get them to clean up, to use those properties on the other side of Franklin for temporary homeless shelters and art space and community gardens while they do this development plan that supposedly, you know, if they developed properties from Roaring Rapids to the river and created this whole shopping thing and, you know, if they did that, the other people on the other side of the Franklin would then have a valuable pieces of property that they would develop too. And so, by the way, everyone is sitting there and speculating. They've all been holding this land for years and doing land speculation, which I'm not. If you want to do land speculation, that's fine, but that doesn't mean, that still means you have to maintain your property and not let it go into lower the other property values around you, even under a capitalist system. And those regular listeners to this program and people that go to these city councils know that I've been saying that at the city council. So I'm going to play you some excerpts from the city club meeting with that has the Springfield Economic Development Authority, or CEDA, is Allie Camp. And you'll hear from other people that some of them don't identify themselves, asking questions. I'm going to play you the Q&A, and one of them is from, his name is Tom, I believe it's Tom Sievers, is a council person that you'll hear in this, some of which I think have interests in the properties they were talking about, but I have no proof of that. And another thing I have no proof of, let me just tell you a little story here. 29 Palms, California, where the Marine base is down there. I own a little, an acre and a quarter down there that I tried to actually, I tried to do an eco dome from Nader Khalili is in Hesperia, which is in that area. I was going to do an eco dome. So I spent a lot of time trying to get plans passed in 29 Palms. And what they did down there was they hired this guy. And this is what Springfield has done also. They hired an architectural firm to do a development plan. 29 Palms hired this architect and paid him $1.5 million for their development plan, which was mostly, I wanted him to put solar panels on all the houses. They wanted commercial development like Walmart in there, and this architect just got a bunch of college student volunteers and charged 29 Palms $1.5 million for their development plan. But I'm not saying that's what Springfield's doing. And what CEDA is going to do, which is good, they're going to increase infrastructure so that, and they're taking what's known as incremental, let's see, it's called tax increment finance. So what they're doing is they're taking the, after the property is developed, in the future, it would be worth more money. So they're going to take the tax dollars that they will gain from the supposedly increased value of these properties after development and using that to put in infrastructure that is needed for that development to start, which is kind of a cool deal, but you're taking a huge risk on assuming that that these properties are going to be developed in a much more valuable way. And there's probably some environmental concerns, too, on the river there and whether you can even put a dock or what you can do on the river over there. But anyway, that's beside the point. But you'll hear all questions about that. And so what they're trying to do is put infrastructure in so that then people can develop it. Well, what I'm trying to tell them is I just went down to L.A. At the beginning of the year and spent some time down there. And, you know, these malls that they're putting up are basically empty. Even the Century City Mall, there's one in Burbank that I went to because I was doing my little comedy tour down there. And so these places are basically almost empty, and they're having a lot of, and as it is, Springfield too has a huge vacancy. All the cities have a huge vacancy in commercial property, which is what they're going to mostly try and put in there. Although what they've done also is lower the restrictions on what you can build in this new development to encourage more development. So, but you, she says that you wouldn't put a factory in there. You wouldn't be able to put a factory in there, but she wasn't really sure about that. So you'll see that there's a lot of questions, but they, in their defense, they are in the beginning stages of this. But again, all I'm saying, because they're in the beginning stages of this, though, what I'm saying is that it's going to take them years to do this development, and we're not even sure if it's going to work because things are changing. You know, brick and mortar businesses are probably not going to be the thing as much anymore. And so I'm trying to get them to do more of an artist space over here. And then if their development thing falls apart, they could do that on the other side of Franklin too. But like I say, I'm trying to get some temporary shelter in these commercial properties that, and I'm not even talking about the other, there's other commercial properties along Main Street in Springfield that I'm not even, and there's the Mill Street School over there that they're waiting on a historical designation over there, and they're going to put, there's no low income housing in the, they're going to turn the Mill Street School into a housing project, apartment complex, but there is no low income provision for that. So, and I'm not even talking about any of that. They could put people in that while they're waiting for all this development. And you know, there are some fire and safety issues, but those can easily be addressed. This did happen. A homeless person was in one of these buildings on Main Street there, on I think it's 21st. There was a heater fell over, I guess, and someone burned to death in there. So that's what the problem is with letting unhoused in these areas. But that can be overcome. You know, you need to check on people's heating arrangements and show them that and keep them with heaters that don't tip over and start a fire, you know. In fact, all heaters now have mechanisms on there that, but I can tell you, I used to design fire alarm systems, and this is a common thing in low income, in even approved low income housing, that people's houses burn down because they can't afford to fix the proper heating, and so they use heaters that are not approved and then fall over and cause a fire. This is a common thing, but of course you need to have a little bit of supervision, and there's plenty of nonprofits in the area that would monitor this stuff. That I've talked to several people that said that they, I haven't gone directly to them, but I have several people that said that they would be open to discussing my ideas of turning commercial property, the worst of it in Glenwood, into temporary housing for unhoused, transitional housing. And yes, and at the risk of sounding like a capitalist, it would improve my property values. And that's the argument I'm saying too, is you guys are damaging you don't have a right, even under capitalism, to damage other people's property. So, and you guys claim to be capitalists. I won't say their name, but one of the counselors at one point said that people have a right to do whatever they want with their property. But I'm sorry, but you're in a neighborhood in a world with other people. So you do have a, and the more property you own, this is our, my argument with Weyerhaeuser too, is the more property you own, the more responsible you are for the environment and the people around you. And that's why you can't, clear cutting is damaging the water supplies of and the air quality and all kinds of other stuff that would be a whole other show on that, of how clear cutting practices and forest practices done by a private company, landowner, Weyerhaeuser, affects the people around them. So the more property you own, the more responsible you are for other people around you, even under a capitalist system. You know, it's a David and Goliath fight where you have to fight this giant corporation with money for lawyers. I'm hearing that Weyerhaeuser is one of the wealthiest companies in the world because of past timber use. The West was basically developed by Weyerhaeuser, and that's what that's what we're doing. So, yeah. First, Oregon Contemporary Theater, members from Oregon Contemporary Theater doing a play. Then, the Springfield Economic Development Report to the City Club on the development, what I'm calling a development debacle. And we'll see if my predictions come true. Even one of them says that it's going to be 5 years before they get this going, 5 or 10 years. So, hey, let's get some other stuff going while you're doing that. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends, support independent media. Check out the open comedy open mics around town and support your comedy open mic. You might see me there. So, again, thanks for listening. We are also at KEPW. You can always use your funds, and there's a link on KEPW.org if you want to donate to us. So, thanks again. Free Palestine. I think that what's going to happen is there will be some pretext for Israel not to... hopefully, they will at least give them food relief. But I think what you're going to see is some pretext that will stop Israel from giving their food relief and humanitarian aid into Gaza.
Okay, this is my play, End of Life Sax. Ben Minnis is playing Rob. Eric Hoey is playing Gail. And it is based on a real personal ad in the Eugene Weekly about 30 years ago.
Yeah.
This play begins with a screen projection of a classified personal ad.
Dying female, 45, seeking male, 35 to 55 age range, to have end-of-life sex with. Figured that would get your attention. Please send your pertinent contact information with a current photo, along with a couple of handwritten paragraphs about yourself, including astrological sign, to P.O. Box 1270. Only serious need apply. Please, no drama seekers. Hi. You must be Rob?
Yes, and you must be Gail.
Yep. Come in. Have a seat. You look like your picture.
Oh.
Maybe a little taller than I expected.
Oh, I wasn't sure what you'd look like. Maybe you'd be...
A bedridden.
No.
In a wheelchair.
No.
Ooh, crippled.
No.
Death looks different on each person.
I know that to be true.
So you're a teacher?
Yeah, fifth grade geography.
Me too. Well, not geography. At least I was a teacher before sixth grade history.
Really? What a coincidence.
What's the largest ocean in the world?
The Pacific Ocean?
Bingo.
How many arms does the Venus de Milo statue have?
None.
Oh, I thought I could get you on that one.
I remember some things. Do you like being a geography teacher?
I do. It's not always easy, as you know. But I enjoy expanding their minds to all the possibilities. Watching that light bulb go off. When they realize there's a whole world out there to discover beyond just themselves.
You seem pretty normal.
I guess I am.
So why did you answer my ad?
Can I have a glass of water?
Oh, I'm sorry. Sure. I must have forgotten how to be a hostess. It's a good reminder for me to drink water, too.
Oh. I answered your ad because I was curious.
That's it?
You gotta admit, it's kind of a strange ad. I bet you got all kinds of weird responses.
Oh, I did. Most of them were crude. Yeah. Some of them rude. I started to think this was a pretty stupid idea.
Well, I don't know about stupid. Definitely bold. And potentially dangerous.
Oh, come on. I am at the end of life. So, if it's a serial killer...
You don't really want to go out that way.
Not really. So you're not a serial killer?
Look, you sound kind of disappointed. No, I'm not. And you'll just have to take my word for it.
What's the tallest mountain in the world?
Mount Everest.
True.
First Roman Emperor.
Julius Caesar.
You know, I could still be a serial killer and just know my geography.
Guess I'm just taking my chances here.
I'm taking my chances here as well.
What does that mean?
Well, you said in your ad you're dying, right?
Yeah.
Well, what if that's a lie?
Why would I possibly lie about that?
I don't know. Sympathy.
Sympathy? You think this is a sympathy fuck?
No.
This is a last fuck! You want evidence. Here!
It's your evidence! Hey, stop! Stop!
You need to go. This isn't working.
Fine. You're right. This was a stupid idea. Gail, it's me, Rob. I'm sorry I made you upset. I apologize. Could I see you for a moment? I have something important to tell you. It's important, please.
Go away.
Please.
Oh no. Puppy eyes? Okay, come in. I'm too tired to get up.
Are you all right?
As well as can be expected. I guess I've used up my energy that was allotted for today.
Here, have a glass of water. I see you like lollipops.
Okay. Help with my mouth, it gets really dry with everything.
My wife had that too. Sorry.
You can tell me about your wife. It's all right. Jealousy isn't for the dying.
My wife had that problem too. Dry mouth. She used to use hard candies.
I used to
find those cellophane wrappers everywhere. Crinkly sounding, bright colors. All over the house, all over the car, in my pockets. Look, I'm still finding them. But lollipops do seem more fun now.
They remind me of my childhood. I always liked them. You want one?
Oh, sure. Thanks.
What'd you get?
Butterscotch.
Oh, that's my favorite.
You want it?
No. You can have it. I probably have a few more chances.
She died 8 months ago. She was sick a long time. Couldn't figure out what it was. It was hard. It's still hard. But I saw your ad. I just had to answer it. In some weird way, I felt like my wife would want me to. That sounds really crazy right now.
I don't think it sounds crazy. Remember, I'm the one who asked for your astrological sign.
I did think that was kind of funny.
Just looking for clues.
Well, I'm glad it was helpful. And you know you're right.
About what?
Butterscotch. It's good.
Told you. What is your wife's name?
Katie.
I'm really sorry about Katie.
Me too.
And I'm really sorry that I got so upset before.
I get it.
My emotions are all over the place.
It's understandable. I think I should go. You're probably tired.
I'm tired, all right? I'm tired. I'm tired of everything. I know that you are only here because you answered my bold, possibly stupid, dangerous ad about sex. But I have a favor to ask you.
What kind of favor? A threesome? do you need something done around the apartment?
No. I was wondering if you would be willing to sit here with me. And maybe we could just hold each other. You know I'm letting you off easy here.
I know.
What's the closest planet to the Earth?
Venus.
Thank you. Let's thank our actors again. Where's Comet? Is Comet here still with you? Very fun. Delightful. Okay, we're going to do a quick, we have a few minutes here. We want to do our little, get some feedback from the audience. So I'm just going to ask, go by play. Start off with my play, Josh at the Gas and Sip. What struck you about that play? Did something stick out that you appreciated or?
The character, two comedians and the serious one and how they came together. I don't know why I knew there was a death in it from the beginning. I thought maybe they were dead.
Okay.
Nobody wouldn't look at them, but I loved how they came together. And they were so funny. You guys were really excellent. Awesome. All the characters.
Awesome. Anything else?
I thought it was delightful that the two existing friends are like essentially the sweetest bums ever. Like Justin, I don't think we see enough like hanging out at the gas station and like these people are very kind and like sweet.
The hug.
Yes.
I thought the play was really well structured. And the pacing was really, really, really good, and so I appreciated that. It didn't feel rushed or it didn't feel like a drag.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
It wasn't predictable, that's right.
Yes?
Kind of a random thing that stuck in my mind. I think the line was, why of all the possible places And then maybe it was the delivery, the writing combination, just why this Sippin, or whatever it's called.
Gassington.
As if those were the only other possibilities.
Awesome. Okay, does anybody have any questions that arose when they watched what's going on? Like, things that weren't answered when they watched it? Yes?
I didn't know what the brother OD'd on, and okay. I didn't know how the two friends felt about the brother's death.
Sure. Okay, anything else? Yes?
I found myself distracted by trying to make sense of having been 15 years of game nights and absence. So the question is, yeah, how did they not know?
Sure.
How did they not know anything? Yes.
Cool. Thank you.
And were they really that they weren't close to him, really? They were surprised.
Last one.
Was it an accident?
Was it
an accident or a suicide? I learned that.
Got it. Okay, next play is...
Dale.
We have Dale's play. These are Mindless Hearts? These are, because I only put TH. So, These are Mindless Hearts. What struck you about Dale's play?
Melodrama.
Okay.
Actors playing characters.
Actors playing characters. Okay. Others? Yes.
It's never settled. Every time you think that something is, there's a constant surprise, and what could have turned into a boring surprise turned into a tickle, like, what's the next one?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yes.
It was absurd, but still easy to follow. So the absurdity still kept unfolding, but was still you could still track it.
Cool. Okay. Yes.
I really liked the moment when one of the characters reckoned with the playwright or the author.
Yeah. Anything else? Okay. What questions do you have about the play?
Was Gloria on the phone, or did the person on the phone ask for Gloria?
Great.
And I don't know if I need to know the answer, right, yeah. But I was left with that.
Okay. That's cool. That's a great question. Yes?
The reference of the 4 years wasn't clear to me. Maybe I missed it.
Okay. You had a question about the reference of those
4 years.
Okay.
I didn't know what that was.
Okay. Anything else? Yes, Jeannie.
How did she know it was? What's his name? Carl?
Jack.
Or the guy, yeah.
Okay.
Which I don't have to know either, but.
Sure. This is the idea, is that we're not going to give you the answers necessarily, but we need to know that you had questions. Is it possible to get the lights up so I can see people?
Yeah.
That would be great.
You look great under lights, though.
Thank you. Any other questions for Dale? Okay. Let's move on to Moon Farm. What struck us about Moon Farm?
Everything.
The
physical action.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't realize at first that this is a dog.
Oh, you didn't realize at first that this.
Yeah.
So then, when you found out they were both dogs.
Was a dog.
Yeah. He's too serious to be a dog.
Yeah.
Yes.
Arbitrary role of screenwriting one time to never kill the dog, and it felt like this was an act of defiance.
Yes.
Cold Giller.
Why was a dog smoking? That's why I didn't know it at all.
We have others. What else struck us? I love the singing and the little kind of rap. I thought that was perfect. That's great.
And the commentary.
Yes. Oh, yes. The commentator with the voice.
That was really good.
I appreciated that kind of different sound and that, you know, old radio sound. Okay. Questions. What questions do we have for these moon farmers?
What happened?
Okay, that's great. You're asking, what happened after the dogs got to dance around? Okay, what else? Other questions?
I was curious what year it was, or what time it was.
Okay.
The 60s.
Okay. Any other questions?
When the commentator was revealing that the other dogs had died, I didn't know whether that was NASA and Houston on the phone, or I didn't know what voiceover, who that was.
Who that represented. Okay.
Who was revealing that fact.
Okay. Cool. Any other questions? Okay, last play, End of Life Sex. Which is going to be down where? Where are they going to show?
Santa Cruz.
It's going to be in a festival in Santa Cruz.
Oh, really?
Cool. Yeah! What struck us about this play?
I worked in hospice as a social worker.
Oh, okay.
And we would talk, and we always wondered that this was so well done, it just hit home to me. Mm-hmm. And if it was real, or, you know, I thought it was amazing.
Good. Okay. Any other?
I was pissed off it ended so short. I could have watched that unravel and get more out of that. Fine, 10 minutes, okay.
The heart, the reveal, the point of connection was just really, it wasn't just put out there of his wife dying, but that it was eased out.
I thought it was really delightful how much tension there was that wasn't like, you know, obviously there's conflict going on, but it was seeing those two characters sit in the tension kindly with each other felt really lovely to watch.
Great. Any other? What struck you? Okay, what questions do you have for Marlo? Any questions?
Did they?
Good. And what should have done?
Yes.
Just a little bit of curiosity of what really caused him to turn around. I know we learned about his life being at stake in it, but I'm wondering like what happened before that caused him to turn around. So I could have used a little bit more motivation leading into that turnaround.
Okay. Any other questions for Marla?
I don't know if I need the answer, because I think that's part of what makes it really lovely, but I found myself really curious about whether or not Rob even entered with the intention of having sex with her, or if it was more like to meet this person and talk with them.
Cool. Anything else? Yeah, Jean.
I heard. Well, I was curious why she was so upset when she threw the pills and if she was really terminal.
Okay. Anything? Okay. We've kept you 6 minutes over.
Oh my God. Nice.
Can we thank Scott and I was wondering if you would like to do this again.
Yes.
We would certainly love to meet again and bring you some more plays. Maybe we'll even at one point have a long form play that's being worked on that we can share too. Thank you. Thank you so much for believing in storytelling and wanting to gather as a community, because I believe that we cannot just tell stories alone. So much better when we're together, isn't it? So thank you again, and just keep your ear to the ground, and we'll let people know when we're going to have another one, right, Marla?
Yep.
Thank you.
All right, so that was the Oregon Contemporary Theater on the last of their four 10-minute plays that went a little over 10 minutes because one of them was sick. So from the Oregon Contemporary Theater, you can... they also do Northwest 10, where you can submit your plays at the Oregon Contemporary Theater at Tsunami Books. And I'll be playing a few other things from Tsunami, although the music that is played at Tsunami is copyrighted, so you will not be hearing any of that on this show. So, coming up is Allie Camp is the director of the Springfield Economic Development Authority, which is what they're referring to as CEDA. And you'll hear from various members of the community asking questions, and you'll see how, in their defense, this is the beginning of the project, but still, they. My point is that this is great what you're doing, but you still need to clean up the properties we have right now, and a good way to do that would be to turn them into low-income shelter in Glenwood, temporary shelter in Glenwood, and have some art projects. We could have some murals there, some really funky stuff, and some community gardens, and just beautify that whole area while you're doing your development plan. And it wouldn't even cost very much, and although you might have to put up a little bit of money to do it, and there's several organizations that would be willing to do that. So thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Support independent media. The audio quality left much to be desired, so I've tried to fix it as much as I could, but I had to delete a few things. So listen to this yourself online on YouTube.
Questions concise, or I will cut you off. And we'll start with Tom, and I'll come around.
Thanks, Paige. Great presentation, Allie. Really pleased to see the work moving forward. My question is, how well positioned is the CEDA's borrowing limits plus cash in hand to pay for the ever-increasing cost of infrastructure? You're going to want to be able to build most of it at once, I would expect, or potentially just, you know, how confident are you that you're going to be able to pay for that?
Oh, that's a great question. Start me with the easy ones. Thank you, Tom. Tom brings up a really good point. I talked a lot about this asset, this financing tool, this resource we have in urban renewal. Urban renewal has a maximum indebtedness that you can utilize it for. Glenwood's maximum indebtedness is $32 million. And again, that money is not just sitting in a drawer somewhere able to be used for whatever. It's very intentional to be used on urban renewal projects to cure blight that are in the plan and approved by the CEDA board. This is one of those projects. For the Glenwood area, we are halfway through our maximum indebtedness to get to this point of pre-development work, property acquisition, and continue to move the work forward. Financing this whole project as costs continue is going to be a feat, and this is actually a really nice time for me to thank Representative Lively. His office made an early show of financial support for the infrastructure that will lead to housing on this project. So it's a big task, it's only going to get bigger. I think the approach to this project is going to be what can we deliver to start early investment to happen piecemeal.
Rebecca Bradvica, Eugene City Club. I grew up in Eugene and spent a significant amount of my childhood right here on Mississippi, and when this was previously Pietros, and that carousel was here then too. I have always known people who've lived in Glenwood, and I appreciate the steps of the collaboration with CEDA to relocating low-income households. Very specifically, though, I didn't hear for resident property owners. Has Springfield utilized eminent domain to acquire properties?
That's a great question, Rebecca. On this project, we had one homeowner. It was not a tenant, they owned their property. CEDA worked with them to successfully acquire their property in negotiations that was suitable for them. We did not use eminent domain on this project. And those folks also successfully relocated off the site after CEDA acquired their home.
Might be thinking of the same person, so have they moved?
All folks have moved off the site. They were residential, yes.
They purchased another home.
Yes, thank you. Dan Solis from Eugene. We're downriver from you, so I was wondering about the stormwater outlets. Will there be settling ponds or swales incorporated into this design?
That's a great question. The concept on your screen shows roadside stormwater swales to to support
the runoff needs from the infrastructure. We know that this is not going to be suitable for the whole site, and we are anticipating larger stormwater demands like swales, outfalls, something to treat the development that will come on these blocks in the future. And that's part of the puzzle that we're figuring out right now in terms of this preliminary master plan step. We have to have all of our ducks in a row to answer questions like that in order to make it through this next planning step. So a lot of research is being done on that item. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the presentation. So the question I have deals with, so the land east, or even more of, because you talked about the Weyerhaeuser project and some of the others. I'm trying to understand, given the timing yet of this project on the master plan, what influence does that have on other, especially private property that they may want to develop? Do they have to wait for this whole process, or can they go through, since it's been annexed, I assume they can go through with whatever exists in the city already?
For specifically the properties to the east?
So those properties were not annexed with this group of properties. They will need to go through that first step before proceeding with any development on their own. As with any other properties in Glenwood that have a development promise, if they're not yet annexed into the city, that's their first step too. We do hear from property owners in the area that they are anticipating their investment coming after they start to see progress happening at the city site. If you remember, whenever I started the presentation talking about urban renewal and this great tool that we have for economic development, it really is to stimulate private investment. So whenever we think about the investment on the site here, yes, it's going to bring us awesome good things, and hopefully it signals to other people who own land in the area that, like, now is the time for your investment.
Senator Bishop from City Club of Eugene over here. A question about the use of tax increment financing the revenue. Do you have an idea of the percentage that will be used for public projects as opposed to the percentage that will go into private? The reason for the question is any money that's spent on the public improvements does not increase the tax base. So are you thinking about that, and is there a percentage?
That is a really great and sophisticated question. Thank you for that. We have not thought about that split yet, but again, if you think about the strategy of investing in infrastructure, no private development could happen on these blocks if there's not a storm line to it, if there's not a sewer line to it, a sidewalk, a road. By making that early investment in probably the highest cost item of the whole site, we are paving the way for people to be able to successfully deliver private investment in the site in the future. So. A little bit of the strategy, very good point being made. The investment in infrastructure opens up this land to development and revenue that we wouldn't have without it.
Valerie, I've got a question over here about the roads that are proposed on that diagram. Obviously, some of those take place in like the current parking lot of the facility we're in. So does this all have to get developed at once? How do you coordinate with that private developer in making this vision happen?
Yeah, that's a great, great, great statement. I mentioned a couple times that we're in this master planning phase. One of the core pieces of the master planning phase where we're doing the studies on stormwater and other utility service is figuring out what happens when. Oh my gosh, it would just be crazy if all of this could happen in one fell swoop, and that's likely not the case because of constraints around infrastructure delivery, funding, and needs from private property owners. The private property owner here at Roaring Rapids has an interest in keeping Roaring Rapids as accessible for as long as he can, and we want that too. We want people on the water eating pizza. So the master planning step allows us to think about the phasing of roads and the phasing of developments with a bunch of considerations in mind. Some of the considerations are private property interests and how they'd like to maintain their property in the short term, and some are where's the most strategic place for development to occur once it can, once there's a road there. So we're kind of in this big study period of figuring out what that right phasing looks like for the site, knowing that it can't all plop down from the sky at once.
Thank you very much. Water access. Is there any boat ramp, any access planned, or is that not a possible thing?
That's a great question. So you'll see the green spaces, proposed open space
What that park design looks like in the future will be steps later on in the process. The point in time that we're at with the master planning consideration is how is land being used and when could it be served with infrastructure. So I would say that's a design point in the future.
Okay. I have a question for those of us who cannot see and cannot read. What are those lines, the red and green and dotted lines? What are they all read? What are they?
I knew you were going to ask that, and this is not my area of expertise. I'll give you a
general answer, and then I'd be happy to follow up with a more specific answer. Those lines indicate different impacts from the river. One of the lines is a 100-year floodplain. One of the lines is a greenway setback. And essentially what those lines indicate is the type of process you may have to go through to build something there. The closer you get to the river, the more challenging it is to build, or it may not be permitted at all. So those lines allow us to indicate the quantity of property that we're dealing with and the complexity that may come with it.
Can you talk about brownfield mitigation? And so that had to happen on the city's current property, but for the rest of Glenwood, that's a major cost consideration. Can you talk about any regional partnerships or state funding that might help alleviate some of that?
So for folks who don't know, a brownfield is a site where a potentially contaminated use used to be or operate. Common brownfields are gas stations, dry cleaners, any sort of like chemical testing or like quick lube places with certain types of materials. The state has a lot of brownfields dollars available to the city and directly to private property owners should you have a property like this or know someone that needs help with remediation. Whenever the city and CETA were proceeding through property acquisition, those 8 years of acquiring the property, one of the steps that we take to make sure that we're getting a clean piece of property is an environmental assessment or review. They come in two phases. You can get a phase one, which tells you, hey, this is feeling pretty good, or you need to do more study, or you can do a phase two, and that phase two really hones in on the specific things that you may have to mitigate. One of CETA's properties did have the requirement to mitigate a concern on the site, and the property owners handled that before transitioning the property to CETA. So what we do know after buying all of the green properties is that we are dealing with things that have passed a phase one or a phase two when necessary.
Thank you for the presentation. It's really excellent. 99% of the people that come to whatever this becomes will come by way of Franklin Boulevard. So I'm wondering if you have, and if CETA has, what are their intentions for the south front of Franklin Boulevard?
That's a great question. I think I'll start by saying that the scale of this development is really important because we know that it will be a desirable spot for many people to be, many people to live, many people to shop. Right now, the roads are sized to accommodate like relatively local traffic. You'll see on the far left side of the development area, there's a roundabout proposed as part of the investments being made in Franklin Boulevard. There's a great public website, newfranklinboulevard.com, if you want to learn a little bit more about what the potential efforts are for Franklin Boulevard in the future. But really, we're hoping that that primary access point from the second roundabout and then the access point to the middle road will be sufficient for people coming and going from the site. The properties on the south side of Franklin Boulevard are not part of the master plan area. Those property owners may want to invest when development starts happening here. It will certainly make their property more appealing.
Nothing against Eugene, but a lot of this investment from City of Springfield has been happening in a Eugene zip code area, because Glenwood used to belong to Eugene. Can you talk about what the conversation has been to date about changing that to a Springfield zip code and what some of the challenges are and what the plans are in the future?
Great question. Thank you, Paige. If you have typed in a Google Maps address to arrive here or somewhere in Glenwood, it ends in Eugene, 9740 something. 03, thank you. there has been legislative efforts done by the city of Springfield to start this conversation at the federal level. In order to change a zip code, you need to work at the federal level with folks to communicate with community members, to initiate a survey, to get voter approval for that change in the zip code. That is a ever-present and existing federal priority for the city. Especially with this quantity of focus and investment being made, having the Springfield name on this section of our community when Springfield is the one making the intention and improving it will be very important in the future. And it's not a short process or an easy process, so it's something that will certainly come amidst the investment happening.
When you think about the commercial development, are you thinking of large commercial developments, particularly in that lower western corner where it looks like it's vacant? Are you thinking of a series of small developments or big ones, or what's the thought?
Yeah, that's a great question. Coming back to the purpose of urban renewal, making tax increment happen, properties that are more dense or more than one stories pay us more tax increment than properties that are one stories. That being said, the development code is really flexible in terms of types of uses that can be here. So we could see anything from ground floor commercial with housing on top. Commercial can vary between professional services, traditional commercial, shopping, restaurant use. I can't speak to development interests for folks who, what folks may want to do on their property in the future, but the development code is very flexible in terms of type of commercial development that can occur and density of buildings that can occur. So we may see small-scale storefronts and we may see standalone buildings. I don't know, and I don't think this is gonna sound silly. I don't think any sort of like factory is permitted in that type of zone to begin with. So,
Costco allowed. No Costco allowed.
Allie, the buildings that you have noted on there, the existing buildings that you want to look at keeping, the ones that are located on city-owned property, city CETA-owned property, you guys are the owners of those, you're leasing them out. Is there a vision to sell those off when this development happens, or are you retaining them as CETA?
Right now, we have active leases with all the tenants in the buildings. A lot of those considerations for what happens to the buildings and what happens to the tenants in them will be coming to the CETA board in the next bit of time. Ultimately, having active uses on the site right now is really beneficial. It has eyes on the site. It allows business to continue. We have some great partners in our tenants out there right now in terms of keeping the property safe, keeping it active. So I think all things being said, leading up to future conversations with the board, having the tenants there is a benefit.
You mentioned earlier how urban renewal has not always worked in the way that sort of metrics of success, if you think about it that way. And what's your timeline for deciding in your own mind and for the city that this has succeeded in the way you want it?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Whenever you think about tax increment financing and it being a financing tool that is in the hands of elected officials, those elected officials are weighing a lot of different values when it comes to how to use that dollar and how to make sure, how to make sure it's being used in an effective way. Certainly, I think return on investment is a consideration, but whenever we think about investing in infrastructure to then allow private investment to be able to soar, that's a little bit harder to measure in terms of return on investment. When we think about what this brings the community, access to the river, delivery of a long-standing vision that we've had for this area, it's not necessarily like a numbers analysis to figure out if we're doing it right or doing it wrong. We're weighing a lot of different values, access to housing, access to public open space, infrastructure that would not have happened but for some of this investment. So I think that marker is hard. So the step that we're in right now, the step that you'll see on the screen, the middle of the ice cream sandwich, we anticipate to have a final master plan approved in fall or early winter of next year. After that, the timeline is really dependent on discussions with the CETA board and how quickly we can move forward with some of the larger considerations for investment in infrastructure.
What we'd really like to see is this being a catalytic project, right? So it's not just investment in this one property area. The goal is to see this spark development throughout Western Springfield. But that doesn't necessarily mean they have to wait until this project is over. Have you seen increases in property annexations over the last year as the city's been making these investments, or have you seen any indicators that that's starting to happen now?
That's a very interesting data point that I don't have handy that I'm curious about. I think some of the best data points that we have is whenever we do public-facing communications like this or presentations, and it gets people's awareness up about what investment is happening in Springfield. When you drive by the site right now, it's really hard to tell that anything is happening unless you're watching it like I am to make sure that everything's clean, safe, tidy. This is the best way to get the word out to hopefully spur that future investment. One thing that I will say is that we've never been this far in the process before. This concept has standing, it has political support, it makes a lot of sense in today's environment, and I think that provides a really nice foundation of certainty for folks that may be curious.
This won't be a question. I'm just going to respond with one person's metric of success. Sometime in the next 10 years, I'm living in an upper story, ideally facing north, in the revitalized Glenwood Riverfront, and it's Thursday afternoon, and the biggest decision I have to make when I get to the ground floor is whether I'm going to walk, bike, or take MX to the Duck game.